The Gospel from Outer Space. Robert Short wrote a book by that title. Recently, I've been doing research on it. I purchased the books. I went to the movies. And I have concluded that there is a Gospel from Outer Space and would like to talk to you about that Gospel this morning. As a matter of fact, it's a Gospel that is very popular among young people. It's a Gospel that has produced $635 million for the first Star Wars film alone, all-time box record in American film history. In fact, the first week of The Return of the Jedi, $45 million were spent at the box office. One lady and her son in California have seen Star Wars 400 times. There is a Gospel from Outer Space. It's an exceedingly popular gospel. And Robert Short wrote the book, The Gospel from Outer Space. He's the same author who wrote The Gospel According to Peanuts. And the popularity of the films and the popularity of his book and the relative unawareness of Christians on this topic all lead me to speak about The Gospel from Outer Space. First of all, Robert Short in his book says it's a progressive gospel. It's something that if you will start with the first films and work up toward the present ones, it gets more and more explicitly biblical. For example, if you start with Close Encounters of the Third Kind, then go to Superman, Star Wars, and E.T., you will see by the time you get to the last two movies, says Robert Short, the gospel of the New Testament. In his own words, here's what he says. Star Wars, a view that from beginning to end is solidly based on the Bible, page 53. He also says that the Gospel according to Luke and the Gospel according to Lucas, George Lucas, the producer of the Star Wars series, is the same. Get it? The Gospel according to Luke and the Gospel according to Lucas is the same. Page 51. What is the Gospel from Outer Space? Do you know what it is, and how does it compare with the Gospel that's presented in the Scriptures? First of all, let me say a few words about the need for a Gospel from Outer Space, and then secondly, I would like to say something about the nature of the Gospel from Outer Space. The need for the Gospel, which means good news, it's pretty obvious when you look around our world and see all of the bad news. So first of all, the bad news, and then secondly, the good news from outer space. The bad news is this. There's bad news about God, really bad news about God. Nietzsche was one of the first to proclaim it, and I'm reading from his book entitled The Gay Science. "Whither is God?" he cried. "I shall tell you, we have killed him. You and I, all of us are his murderers. Do we not hear anything yet of the noise of the grave diggers who are burying God? Do we not smell anything yet of God's decomposition? God's too decompose. God is dead." That's bad news. God is dead. And the modern world has largely bought into the bad news that Nietzsche mentioned. As a matter of fact, in 1933 in America, some of the top leaders in our country got together and declared this bad news to be true, to be the bad news that America needed to hear, and to be the bad news that they wanted to filter through our culture. I'm quoting from Humanist Manifesto 1, which was signed by John Dewey, the father of American education. "We are convinced that the time has passed for theism, deism, modernism, and several varieties of new thought. Not only is there no biblical God, there's no God whatsoever. As non-theists, we begin with humans, not God, nature, not deity. Secular humanists may be agnostics, atheists, rationalists, or skeptics, but they find insufficient evidence for the claim that some divine purpose exists for the universe." Humanist Manifestos 1, 2, and the recent Secular Humanist Declaration. That's bad news. God is dead. There's also bad news about man in the modern world. This bad news was said very succinctly by Jean-Paul Sartre, a French atheist. And I quote from one of his books, "No sooner had you, Zeus, created me than I ceased to be yours. I was like a man who lost his shadow, and there was nothing left in heaven, no right or wrong, nor anyone to give me orders." The bad news is God is dead, and for man, there's no one to tell me what is right and what is wrong. Will Durant, the famous skeptical historian, said this to the Chicago Sun-Times not long before he died. "You and I are living on a shadow because we are operating on the Christian ethical code, which was given to us unfused with the Christian faith. But what will happen to our children? We are not giving them an ethic warmed up with a religious faith. They are living on the shadow of a shadow." That's bad news. God doesn't exist, and modern man is living on the shadow of a shadow. Camus, the famous French philosopher, said, and I quote, "For anyone who is alone without God and without a master, the weight of days is dreadful." Bad news about God is bad news about man. What has man done in response to this? Jean-Paul Sartre wrote a book entitled Being and Nothingness. Here's what he concluded his book with. "Thus, it amounts to the same thing whether one gets drunk alone or is a leader of the nations. If God doesn't exist, there's no one to tell me what's right or wrong, it doesn't matter whether I become a champion of the world or whether I trip out on drugs. It does not matter whether I lead a cause for the world or whether I get drunk with my buddies." Bad news about God, bad news about man. Macbeth put it in Shakespeare very aptly. "Life's but a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." Sartre said, "All of life is an empty bubble on the sea of nothingness." One of the modern films, 2001, Stanley Kubrick, has expressed this emptiness of modern man, this need for good news. Think of how he puts the bad news. "If man really sat back and thought about his impending termination and his terrifying insignificance and aloneness in the cosmos, he would surely go mad." That's what Nietzsche did, as a matter of fact. "Or succumb to a numbing sense of futility. Why, he might ask himself, should I bother to write a great symphony or strive to make a living or even love another when he is no more than a momentary microbe on a dust mote whirling through the unimaginable immensity of space? Why should I even listen to music? The world's religion, for all their parochialism," he said, "did supply a kind of consolation for this great ache. But as a clergyman now pronounces the death of God and the sea of faith recedes around the world with a melancholy, long, withdrawing roar, man has no crutch left on which to lean and no hope, however irrational, to give purpose to his existence." 2001. Yes, for those of us who manage somehow to cope with our mortality, the very meaninglessness of life forces man to create his own meaning. So what does modern man do in response to the fact that God died, there is no direction for man, and life is so meaningless that you may as well get drunk? What does he do? Some get drunk, some commit suicide, some go insane, and some produce movies. And in the production of the movie, they create a gospel from outer space. The humanism of our schools has created a religious vacuum that is being filled in our theater. And they're going right by the church as they leave the school on their way to the cinema. A religious vacuum in the school sterilized of God, and the void being filled by the all, the force, the God in the theater. He continues, "Our existence as a species can have genuine meaning and fulfillment. However vast the darkness, we must supply our own light. There is no God, no light coming from him. Man is left alone, but create your own meaning." And this is precisely what they're doing in the theater. Now, if you think that Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, The Return of the Jedi, E.T. and Superman are just innocent entertainment. Listen to Newsweek, 1979. People can croak entertainment, entertainment, until they're blue in the face. The fact remains that films like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Superman, and even Star Wars have become jerry-built substitutes for the great myths and rituals of belief, hope, and redemption that culture used to shape before mass secular society took over. Now, if you retranslate that last line, the theater has become the replacement for what the church once was. That creating movies to fulfill the religious void is a substitute for what Christianity once provided. You say, are they really intending to do this? Some are and some aren't. Let me give an example. E.T., Melissa Matheson, who was directly responsible for that, says the following about whether or not they knew the gospel they were presenting. Matheson, educated in a Catholic school in Hollywood, said that during the filming of E.T., she and a cinematographer suddenly realized the similarities between her plot and the story of Jesus Christ. His being left on earth, being found, his apostles dying, the resurrection. We were cracking up when we figured out that one. When we told Steven Spielberg, who is Jewish, when we told Steven, he said, I'm Jewish and I don't want to hear anything about this. In other words, she said, we didn't from the beginning intend it, but we discovered before the thing went to the theaters that there was a close similarity between Christ and E.T. George Lucas consciously introduced religion into his film. And let me quote, Star Wars is a morality play, Lucas said. It is also a psychological tool that children can use to understand the world better and their place in it and how to adjust to that. It's very basic. It's where religion came from. Fairy tales, religion, were all designed to teach man the right way to live and to give him a moral anchor. George Lucas had a mystical experience at age 6. He dedicated his life to serving his God. As a matter of fact, when he was interviewed by Time magazine, May 23, 1983, here's what he said. There is more of me in Star Wars than I care to admit. I was trying to say there is a God and there is both a good side and a bad side. You have a choice between them, but the world works better if you're on the good side. It's just that simple. So yes, some have consciously introduced the religion and morals into the theater. Others, it's been a subconscious process, but in either way, it is filling a religious void in America. The need for good news is pretty obvious in a world that is filled with such bad news. Bad news that God has died, bad news that man has no meaning and no guide, and bad news that the world's going to end, either soon by the H-bomb or a little later by the second law of thermodynamics. Now, either way, we're going to get it. Someone wrote into the New York Times and said, let not the H-bomb be the sequel in which all men are cremated equal. Well, we may get it that way. If we don't get it sooner by the H-bomb, we'll get it later by the second law of thermodynamics, which says that sooner or later, the universe is going to run out of gas, put bluntly. That is, all things are tending to disorder, and we're running out of usable energy, and the universe is going to die. So either in 10 to 15 billion years, or in the immediate future, God is dead, man has no meaning, and the world's going to come to an end. That's bad news. Now, you hear that news in the newspaper. What do? Go to the theater, and they'll give you good news. Good news from outer space. Good news about a friendly little creature who came and died and rose from the dead. Good news about a superhuman being who came from a distant planet to work for justice in the world. Good news about a force that you can tap into and fight evil, and even the devil himself, like Darth Vader. Good news is necessary in a world of such bad news. You turn on the TV, bad news. Turn to the cinema, good news. Look in the newspaper, bad news. Look in the theater, good news, the gospel. Man has not found good news on earth, so he's looking to the heavens. He has not found it in the natural realm, so he's looking to the supernatural. He has not found it in science, so he's looking to magic. He has not found good news in inner space of his own heart, so he's looking to outer space for the good news. What is this good news from outer space? Robert Short, in his book, The Gospel from Outer Space, gives us the good news. He said it's progressive, starting with Close Encounters, working through Superman and Star Wars until you get to E.T. And there in E.T. and Star Wars, you have all of the basics of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's see the similarities. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, he says, is so much a sign of the times. That giant mothership of Close Encounters is a dream machine that delivers exactly what we now feel we need, a quick fix. We need it once and for all as a revelation to come from the outside in, a revelation that will come down to us, producing meaning, direction, and unity to our lives. Notice how chaotic the civilization was. Until the big spaceship came and brought unity and meaning to mankind. Therein is the truth of the Christian revelation. God from the outside has broken through in a once-for-all revelation, unified people and brought meaning into their lives. Then he continues, Close Encounters is a beautiful modern-day parable, the story of a space visitation that bears uncanny resemblance to the very visitation all of us need, the visitation of Christ into our darkened hearts. No doubt these resemblances are unintended by Spielberg, the story's creator, since he is Jewish. But again, this only points to how many of the keys manufactured by a society will, because of that society's great need, take on surprising and even unexpected resemblance to the correct key, Christ. So there's this subconscious need created by the vacuum of a humanistic, atheistic society that is being filled by the theater, even those who don't realize that they're doing it. Then Robert Short continues, the spaceship in Close Encounters of a Third Kind is obviously all-powerful. The radiant aliens inside it are obviously super-knowing and all-loving. And Roy Neary is then overjoyed to be taken on board along with the 12 other Earthlings. They are whisked away on a giant flying saucer, and then presumably everybody, all of mankind, lives much more happily ever after. The end. Close Encounters is a close similarity to the truth of the New Testament, says Robert Short. Secondly, Superman. Here is an incredible similarity. And he has a picture of a cartoon that Marlette did for the newspaper. Superman standing on the right and a little box on the left. Listen to the similarities in the box. There is a man who was sent to earth by his father, was raised in humble circumstances, and since he was not of this world, dwelt among men, an outsider. But his was a special destiny. By dedicating his unique gifts to the service of truth and justice, he stood for the oppressed, the meek, the afflicted, the powerless. For all of humanity, this is not him. Superman. One of the things this Marlette cartoon does, Robert Short continues, is to show us very briefly and clearly some of the many parallels between Christ and the Superman of movie Superman 1. Because in its use of traditional Christian imagery and familiar biblical language, including some practically direct steals from Scripture, Superman 1 is about as subtle as a kick in the teeth. Then he goes on to say, Super infant's parents wrap him in red, white, and blue swaddling clothes, lay him in an unearthly manger, and Superman's father's name is Jor-El. And here's what the father says to the son, quote, all that I have I bequeath you, my son. You'll carry me inside you all the days of your life. You will see my life through yours and yours through mine. The son becomes the father and the father the son. Robert Short adds this comment. At this point, the script sounds as if it might have been ghostwritten by the author of the Gospel of John. Close parallels. From Close Encounters, close similarity from a Superman. Then we turn with Robert Short to the Gospel according to Lucas. When we anxiously search the skies nowadays, he says, what we're really looking for, whether we realize it or not, is God's revelation of himself in Christ. We're looking for a religion from outer space. Although it will be years before George Lucas completes all of the project chapters of his marvelous Star Wars series, we've already seen and read enough to convince us that, and I quote from Robert Short, it is now and will remain extremely close to the Christian faith in its overall vision and probably in many of its details. In fact, he thinks it is virtually the same as what the Bible is saying about Christ. It is also no surprise that Star Wars fans have quickly spotted many analogies between those stories and the Christian faith. A lot of these points of correspondence can reach out and smack a person in the eye. Here's the similarities between Star Wars and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Darth Vader and the empire he serves are obviously bigger than life symbols for evil and its powerful, forbidding cosmic scale. But then there are also many positive symbols or forces for good that are not difficult to recognize. Chief among these is the unseen force, capital F, which can easily be translated into the biblical word power, God himself as power. For thine is the power of the Holy Spirit. Wise and saintly Ben Kenobi certainly fits the role of a Christ symbol. He instructs Luke Skywalker in the ways of the force, is then killed in battle with Darth Vader, but then miraculously returns from the dead in a spiritual form and continues to lead Luke in their common war against evil. Ben Kenobi, Christ. Darth Vader, the devil. The Force, the Father. Tapping into the Force, victory over the devil. Obvious similarities. When we get to E.T., says Robert Short, we have the gospel clear and simple. We have the New Testament gospel of love, and let me read from what he says. Both E.T. and Christ are extraterrestrials, coming into the world from outside. Both begin their adventures on Earth in a less than auspicious circumstance. E.T. in a shed behind the home where he takes up residence, Christ in an animal shelter behind the inn. Both are males and nothing to look at. E.T. is positively scary until you get to know him, and Christ, in Isaiah's well-known prophecy, quote, had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Both have miraculous powers of healing and other powers over nature. Both are marked by great compassion. Both are hunted down by the reigning ideological authorities. Both die at the hands of the authorities, and both are resurrected from the dead, appearing at first only to their most trusted companions. After E.T. is raised from the dead, there's even an empty tomb scene. While the authorities believe E.T. to be dead, the children know differently and whisk him away in a van. As they help E.T. down from the back of the van, he's covered in a shroud-like white cloth. The police then finally catch up with the van, and when the doors were fully open, it was seen to be empty. The empty tomb. Before E.T. ascends into heaven in the spaceship that has returned to rescue him, many of his departing words to his companions, the children, are strikingly similar to the final words given by Christ to his disciples. I'll be right here, E.T. said, fingertip glowing over Elliot's chest. I am with you always, Christ tells his disciples before his own ascension in Matthew 28. Yes, there is a gospel from outer space, and according to Robert Short, it's the same gospel that's in the New Testament, and if the church were proclaiming this gospel, people would be lining up outside of our churches, he says, in the same record numbers that they're lining up outside the theater. My next point is, there are some close parallels to the Gospel of Lucas and the Gospel of Luke, but there are also some very crucial differences. And I'd like to point out some of those differences. And before I do, let me say this. You cannot tell a genuine dollar bill from a counterfeit dollar bill by their similarities. You can only tell the genuine from the counterfeit by the differences. Note very carefully the differences. First of all, there is a different source for the gospel. Secondly, there is a different Savior. Thirdly, there's a different means for the gospel. And fourthly, there's a different result. The differences are very important. First, notice the different source for the two gospels, the gospel of Luke and the gospel of Lucas. The gospel of Luke, the source is a personal heavenly Father. The gospel of Star Wars is an impersonal being. The gospel of the Bible has as its source an absolutely good being who cannot look on evil. The God of Star Wars is neither good nor evil. He's beyond the realm. And you can tap into him for good or evil, but he himself is neither good nor evil. The God of the Bible transcends all of creation. The God of Star Wars is a force like electricity that permeates all of creation. The God of the Bible is a person to be loved. The God of Star Wars is an it, a thing, a force to be used. The God of the Bible is someone with whom we will have fellowship forever in an I-thou relationship. The God of Star Wars is a force with which we all merge at death and lose our own identity and therefore have no eternal fellowship. In fact, the God of the Bible is a theistic God, and the God of Star Wars is a pantheistic God. The God of the Bible is the God of Judaism and Christianity, and the God of Star Wars is the God of Hinduism and Buddhism. In fact, Irvin Kershner, the director of The Empire Strikes Back, said that he deliberately introduced Zen Buddhism into Yoda, who trained Luke, so that children would not go away from the theater thinking that this is just shoot 'em up. No, this is a morality play. This is religion. Lucas says, I am trying to teach religion to the young people of America. There's a vast difference between an impersonal, finite force like electricity and a personal, loving, infinite God who sent his Son in Jesus Christ. The two gospels have two different sources. Secondly, there is a difference in the Savior. Notice the Savior figures, E.T., Superman, and Ben Kenobi, compared to Jesus Christ. Ben Kenobi and E.T. are both mortal. Jesus Christ is immortal. Ben Kenobi and Superman were both sinful. Ben Kenobi told a lie to Luke Skywalker. Later he hedged and said, well, from one perspective, it was true. Superman yielded to temptation because of a woman and gave up his powers in Superman 2 and had to get them back again. They are sinful. Jesus Christ is sinless. His enemies said, we find no fault in this man. Never a man spake like this. And his closest friends who lived with him day and night said, there's no guile in his mouth. Ben Kenobi and Superman were superhuman gods, small g. Jesus Christ is the supernatural God, large g. All of the other saviors are not human. Not a single one of them are human beings. They all are extraterrestrials. Jesus Christ was truly human. Went through a normal birth process. His mother was pregnant for 9 months and gave birth to a truly human being. None of the others are human. The only way you can reach to God is be God, and the only way you can reach to man is to be man. The only one who is truly a Savior is the one who is both God and man, 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Ben Kenobi and E.T., death was involuntary. They didn't choose. It was unavoidable. With Jesus Christ, death was voluntary. He said, you don't take my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. He dismissed his spirit. Ben Kenobi died to gain power. He said, kill me, evil Vader, and I will be more powerful. Jesus Christ didn't die to gain power. He died to give forgiveness, the power over sins. Not a word about man is a sinner, Christ died for our sins, and through the cross you can get forgiveness. Not a word about that in any of these Gospels from outer space. In other words, the heart of the Gospel is not in the Gospel from outer space. It is not good news to men who are in the guilt of their sin to discover that there is no forgiveness for sin. The space saviors get victory by fighting, and there's so much fighting that most people who are over 18 never see the message because they're so disturbed by the fighting. Young people like the excitement and all of the special effects. But while the space saviors get victory by fighting, Jesus Christ got victory by dying and rising from the dead. He said to Peter, "Put away your sword. Those that live by the sword will die by the sword. My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus Christ is so vastly different from Ben Kenobi, Superman, and E.T. that there is no significant similarity in their ability to save mankind. Yes, there is a gospel from outer space. Its source is the Force. Its savior is a sinful mortal, not a sinless immortal. The means of salvation is different as well. Struggle, commitment, works. The only way you'll be able to do it, Luke, is to be disciplined. Luke Skywalker had to go through great discipline in order to tap into the Force. Oh, yes, it mentions faith. But it's a works kind of faith that is available only to those who will make the commitment and struggle on their own. And it's a self-effort kind of achievement. In the final analysis, it is salvation by works. Not by trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not by trusting the completed process of salvation of him who on the cross said, "It is finished." Who, when he by himself had purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a different source. There's a different Savior. And there's a different means of salvation. It is not by faith alone. It is by works. And then, perhaps most dramatically of all, the gospel from outer space has a different result. And this chills me more than any other thing I've read in this book. Listen to what Robert Short says. E.T. stands for eternity. Then again, the quality of eternal being dramatized in E.T. is literally one hell of a better eternity than the one being described by the churches. Even his language isn't too good. And why is this? Because the gospel according to E.T. is much more obviously and consistently and completely a gospel of love. E.T. points to a universal love without even a hint of a literal hell. Oh, the good news from outer space is there is no hell and everybody's going to go to heaven. He continues, "But I contend it is precisely the implied or expressed threat of eternal perdition that compromises the church's gospel of love. If you preach love and then tell people there's a hell, you are compromising the true gospel," says Robert Short. "And this is what's led to all the atheism in Christendom. This I believe," he says, "a perfect description of the love that speaks to us through E.T., a love eternal, universal, and finally victorious, overwhelming all enemies. It's also a fair description of the message of God's love to all mankind. And this message was carried to us by Christ." What is the gospel according to E.T.? The gospel of eternal love. God loves everybody, and he would never send anyone to hell. What's the gospel according to Star Wars? Page 59. of the gospel from outer space. He says, but at the same time, we know that finally the force will be with everyone. With everyone, yes, because in the first place, Christians are given the job of praying that God the force will finally be with everyone. A few weeks ago, I was teaching the Summer Institute for Campus Crusade in Colorado. Students went out on Saturday to witness in the parks. One came back to me and said, you know, we ran into some religious people. And what you had been telling us in class about the religion of Star Wars is exactly what we ran into. These people said, you know, we're religious too. We're Christians. We have mottos too. And one of the crusaders said, what's your motto? He said, well, I've got one right on my bumper. The force be with you. They claim to be Christians, claim that the force be with you was a Christian motto, when indeed it's a pantheistic motto, a Zen Buddhist motto, by the very confession of the director of the Empire Strikes Back, and in the autobiography by Dale Pollack entitled Skywalking, the autobiography of George Lucas, he says on page 140, this is Zen Buddhism. And he got it from Carlos Castaneda, Tales of Power, about a Mexican sorcerer who imported Eastern religion and talks about the force, our ally. But the most chilling words of all that I have read anywhere in all of this book on this topic are the following. George Lucas, the Gospel according to Lucas, which according to Robert Short is the Gospel of the New Testament, says this. There's another force at work in Star Wars, a force that is infinitely stronger and wiser and kinder than mere folks toughing it out on their own in an indifferent cosmos. What is it? It is the belief that those who are called according to God's purpose, that eventually everyone, even Darth Vader and the devil, will thankfully serve Christ and worship him. Did you get that? Page 55. The devil is going to be saved. That's the good news that is being proclaimed in the theaters, in Star Wars, in E.T. That's the gospel according to Lucas, which of course, says Short, is the gospel according to Luke as well. Yes, there is a gospel from outer space. It has a different source, the force, not the Father. It has a different Savior, sinful man, not the sinless Son of God. It has a different means, works, not faith. And it has a different result. Everybody's going to be saved, and nobody will be lost. What is there to worry about? That's good news. Friends, come to the theaters, pay your money, and hear the good news. The theaters are not the only ones who have been presenting the gospel from outer space. Let me tell you about another story of a gospel from outer space. September 21st, 1823. A man named Joseph. While I was thus in the act of calling upon God, I discovered a light appearing in my room. He called me by name and said to me that he was a messenger sent from the presence of God to me, and that his name was Moroni. And then he goes on to say this. He also said that the fullness of the everlasting gospel was contained in it as delivered by the Savior to the ancient inhabitants. Joseph Smith got a gospel from outer space. An angel from heaven came with the everlasting gospel. His name was Moroni, and he declared it in the Book of Mormon. You can read it. In fact, if you wait long enough, you'll have a couple dedicated young men come to your door and read it for you. June 1844, here's what Joseph Smith said. I told you, brethren, you want to know his gospel? This is an exact quote from Documentary History of the Church, Volume 4, page 46. Joseph Smith, I told you, brethren, that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth, and a man would get closer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book. Then Joseph Smith, later in the Discourses of Joseph Smith, page 263, said this, I will go back to the beginning before the world was to show what kind of a being God is. What sort of a being was God in the beginning? God himself was once, as we now are, in an exalted man and sits enthroned in yonder's heaven. The gospel is the gospel of a finite man who was once God. I'm going to tell you how God came to be God. I can hardly wait to hear. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. That's what you probably thought, right? God was God from all eternity? Joseph continues, I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. Please do, Joseph. I'm waiting with bated breath. Take away the veil. What did the angel Moroni tell you? What is this gospel? It is the first principle of the gospel to know for a certainty the character of God and that he was once a man like us. Yea, that God himself, the Father of us all, dwelt on earth the same as Jesus Christ did. There have been many gospels from outer space. More recently, we got one by way of the east. His name was Moon. He said this, by the same token, God's salvation of man is simply to restore man to the original state of goodness from an abnormal, deviated state. So salvation is equivalent to restoration, and God is going to restore the kingdom of hell to the kingdom of heaven. Sun Myung-moon, who really claims to be the Messiah, said, the good news for mankind is that even hell is going to be saved, and the kingdom will be restored. One day we will all know the truth, he says. Eventually, we are all going to die. Every one of us will end up in spiritual heaven. That great news? Nobody's going to be lost. You may wonder, where do these people get their good news from? Well, on page 101 of his book, The New Future of Christianity, Sun Myung-moon tells us, and I quote, you may say, Reverend Moon, by what authority are you speaking? As a matter of fact, that question did occur to me. What makes you so sure? His answer, I do have the authority to say these things. God showed me the truth. I met Jesus. Jesus himself showed me these truths. I met John the Baptist, too, in the spirit world. He himself bore witness to the truth of this testimony. After these extraordinary spiritual experiences, when I returned to the reality of this world, the same Bible I had been reading took on a whole new meaning. End quote. I wrote in the margin of my copy here, you bet. You bet. You go to the spirit world. You meet an angel called Moroni. You meet some little tiny loving people from a spaceship, and you'll get a gospel from outer space. But it will not be the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has a different source, a different Savior, a different means of salvation, and a different result. Two verses come to my mind. One was read to us this morning, Galatians 1:8. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. And then he repeats it in the next verse. Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they be of God. Not by the superficial similarities. Counterfeit bills look very similar to genuine ones. But by those small but crucial differences that determines the genuine over the fraudulent. Do not be deceived. Let us pray. Our Father, help us in a day of deception, a day of declension, a day of apostasy. Help us in days when the devil is using all of the technology at his disposal to most forcefully and convincingly present the gospel from outer space. Help us to beware. And help us also to restore the simplicity, the pristine purity, the unadulterated truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again. And to proclaim with new fervor this good news that men in a secular society without God are longing to hear and are bypassing the church on the way to the theater to hear a false gospel. I pray the prayer of confession, Lord, for not being more involved, more active in sharing the true gospel of Christ, and help us all to get more deeply involved. For Jesus' sake, amen.